and welcome to Irreverent Testimony, brought to you by Netroots Radio, the political podcast by and for millennial and Gen Xer types from a left-wing perspective. It is Friday, October 27th. Yeah, we're doing a Friday night again.
Yeah, we are.
There's just so much going on tomorrow, and there's a lot going on tonight, right now. News breaking everywhere. And I'm Travis.
I'm Rachel.
So let's jump right into it. The first charges filed in the Mueller-Russia probe have just been announced. CNN announced that they got the scoop. Nobody else has been able to confirm it yet, interestingly.
Which makes me a little nervous, to be honest.
This would be a pretty bad one for CNN to get wrong. You have to think that they had a pretty good source or several sources on this.
I would hope so. I just have not the greatest confidence in CNN. But I think it's probably safe because so many other, not that that matters, like so many other news.
Well, no, they assume if CNN has it, then they have it.
And sometimes they don't have it.
that would be disastrous if they reported the chart and there aren't actually charges.
I don't know, Al Gore won and like George Bush won.
Well, that wasn't CNN.
No, but they have a little bit of a spotty track record, yeah.
Yeah, but no, the Gore thing wasn't CNN. That was actually an ABC exit poll.
Who reported it first?
ABC. Ah. I was literally watching it in real time. Yeah. On that wonderful night in 2000. In any event, it does look like charges have been filed. We don't know against who. We don't know for what. Our little pool here has the money on Manafort?
Yes.
Or one of Manafort's close people, maybe?
Manafort or Flynn.
Flynn, maybe. Maybe Carter
maybe
Page.
Carter Page. But it's got to be one of those three.
It's not one of the big fish. So there's probably out there thinking, oh my gosh, it's against Trump. No, it's not going to be against Trump.
No.
You build up to that by getting the surrounding people.
And getting them to flip.
Getting them to flip, right.
And filing actual criminal charges against someone's a pretty good first step.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Then people run for cover and they try to save their own asses.
And publicly filing charges against somebody in that way, rather than pulling them in and saying, we're going to file these charges if you don't flip, is a clear sign to the other witnesses that we're not fucking around and we will straight charge you. And if you have something to say, you better say it now.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not just for the benefit
of the person.
They can
charge you first before they go to trial.
Well, they have to charge you before they go to trial, but they can pull you in before they charge you.
Yeah, of course.
They don't have to bring an indictment. They can pull you in and say, look, these are the charges we have. This is what we're going to file. We don't have to do it if you do the following things. And if you don't do those things, we're going to do it. They can also not do that and make a big public splash and say, we charge this guy without even considering cooperation.
Which would be unlikely. Like,
but it's not just meant for the person or people who are being charged. It's meant as a big, like,
of course, yeah.
Hey, we're not fucking around. We're charging people here. Mm-hmm. We're indicting people on criminal charges.
Especially when it's a big sprawling investigation that the president is at the center of.
Yes.
And
the president watches the news and listens to the news more than any of his advisors.
That's all he does.
Mueller knows that. And so he's like, all right, motherfucker, we're going to indict some people that you know.
Especially in this last week, it's all been, Hillary Clinton's the real Russia colluder and something with the uranium deal and something with the steel dossier. And here's all this chaff. Look at all this stuff to distract you.
And JFK. And
Like everything you could think of. Now, that's sort of like an average day in the Trump world anyway. But it seems to kind of reek of like, ooh, something's coming down the pike here. And here it is.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So, again, you know, all we know is that CNN's reporting that the first charges have been filed. It's sealed, so we don't know who has been charged.
Could be an intern, could be a staffer. Who knows?
Could be Manafort. Could be anybody. But my money is on Manafort.
Yeah, I think it's Manafort.
Me too.
Because Manafort has all the obvious financial connections.
Yes.
His financial skeezy connections were so obvious, even Trump had to dump him as his campaign manager.
Yeah, which they love to forget that's what he was.
Right, of course.
Way.
Oh, he was with the campaign for 5 minutes and had a small role. No, he was the campaign manager, man.
So we'll see. And, you know, again, this is Friday night. By the time you hear this on Saturday afternoon, we may be completely irrelevant and you may already know who it is. But
well, here's one thing.
We're speaking from the past.
Yeah, well, here's one thing that's interesting, right? We've heard Donald Trump stick up for Flynn. We've heard him stick up for other people who've had to resign or whatever.
Oh yeah, they're still great guys. I love them.
I've never heard him say that about Manafort unless I just don't remember. Have you ever heard him say, oh, Paul's a great guy. And
I don't remember hearing that. That's no, a good point. Yeah. I don't. He does say a lot of good things about Flynn.
Oh, yeah.
For sure. And Steve Bannon. And oh, yeah. Like, yeah, most of the people that I've left, I think you're right. We could be wrong on this. I just don't remember that being a like.
Maybe in the first day he left. But like since when
he hasn't spoken when his name has come I'm up in
controversy.
Sure. Yeah.
No. He's kind of kept his distance, so
yeah,
he may have known that he'd be the first to go overboard, or in his hopes the only guy,
or he knew already like how bad it was for Manafort, so like don't tie me to him.
Well, here's kind of the problem for them. Well, when things used to matter, like any sort of logical consistency would matter to anybody, but isn't it? One strategy would be if this is Manafort, you just throw Manafort under the bus. Oh, well, these bad things did happen, but that's why we got rid of him, because we were worried he was shady. And now, yeah, it was all Manafort. But they've gone to such lengths to say there was never any collusion at all. So, like, can you backtrack now and say, oh, well, okay, yeah, there was, but it was all Manafort?
I mean, yeah, I guess you can get away with it. I think I get why they didn't do that, because if you had suspicions that something was going on, why is that your campaign manager? Like, why was this person not vetted? I mean,
right. Because this, all these revelations weren't new.
No.
And they didn't happen after he took the job.
No, they knew.
He was propping up Ukrainian strongmen who were puppets of Putin. And
yeah.
All had these very shady financial deals. And they all, everybody in the Trump orbit has a very shady real estate deal with the Russians.
Yes.
And not many people understand all this. There is so much money laundering happening
in
the Trump sphere.
Mob. It's all it is. It's money laundering.
Yeah.
There was also kind of a bombshell that maybe got missed a little bit today, or I don't know if it was today or not. My week's been really crazy, so my timelines might be a little bit off, but there was a story about the Russian lawyer lady.
I think it was today. I read it today, but I don't know if it happened today.
But yeah, the Russian lawyer lady.
Oh, God, I forgot her name. Volskaya, something like that. So her whole contention was that, oh, no, this meeting that was in Trump Tower. And I wanted to have this meeting with, it was Don Jr., Manafort, Kushner, right?
Mm-hmm.
Were those the principals?
Mm-hmm.
And it was all about this adoption thing. This.
Well, that was her original
story. That was her original story.
Right.
But then it turns out, no, she ran right to the Kremlin with everything they talked about at that meeting.
But more than that, right?
Yeah.
So then she said, I was a private attorney. I had this information on the Democratic Party that could possibly hurt the Democrats and Hillary Clinton, but the Kremlin didn't direct me to do anything, and they didn't even know I was doing it. I was just a private attorney working for someone who had this information.
Right.
Well, it came out today or sometime this week that, in fact, she had had meetings with one of the top attorneys inside the Kremlin, like one
prosecutor.
Of these people, prosecutor, right, inside of the Kremlin, someone super close to Putin. They had had conversations about this information before she had the meeting, and then she went and had the meeting.
Yeah, she was a spy.
So, yes, 100%.
Working on behalf of the Russian government
or
to help Donald Trump get elected because it was in Russia's best interest.
Or she wasn't a spy. And there was collusion, and the Trump campaign and the Putin administration were working together.
Or they colluded with a spy.
They told this lady, you are the deliverer of this information to our friends and comrades who are going to be Hillary Clinton. Go give them this information. And she did.
But Don Jr. even admitted as much. Like, he went for a little while with the adoption thing. Then he was like, oh, well, if somebody says you've got dirt on your opponent,
of course you sit down with her. And then you're like, oh, I see that you knew.
But yeah,
the thing that came out this week was, her contention this whole time has been like, I'm a private citizen. I don't even know anyone there. I've never met anyone there. I have no idea what you're talking about. And then it came out like, no, none of that. Like, as though anyone believed it, but it came out like with concrete emails and phone calls and facts that she had had these meetings with this high level prosecutor within the Kremlin, like not just like,
everything's
some
tied
lawyer in Russia
to Putin.
Like,
there's no autonomy in the Russian judicial system or justice system or
he's
a dictator.
Right. And so she met with this man and they had conversations about what she was going to say and give. And then she did. And so whether or not the Trump campaign knew that that's who she was, it seems very likely that they did, but maybe they didn't. And maybe she was a spy. And I don't know. But that was
that's another interesting
breaking down
thread
of her story.
Yeah. So there's a lot happening on that front. We've been kind of quiet about it because
things are happening and we're letting them happen.
Yeah.
I don't want to report every goddamn little thing, but this is big. So we're talking about it until there's something else big.
Right. Right. Yeah. And I just covered, there's no need to just talk about what's been regurgitated on Fox News the last few days, that it's all Hillary Clinton, Hillary Clinton, Hillary Clinton. She's the real, she's the real colluder with Russia, whatever, something.
Don't worry about it. It's all flimsy bullshit.
Well, yeah, but what drives me crazy is every time this happens, why don't any Democrats have the intelligence to step up and say, oh, good, so you agree Russia's bad and we should absolutely fully fund and investigate their interference in our election.
Right. You're agreeing that the Russian government, whether they worked on the Democratic side or the Republican side or both, definitely interfered with our election. And gosh, that's awful. And shouldn't we investigate that immediately to the fullest extent of our ability?
And shouldn't we fully force the president who signed the bill into law that said we were going to increase these sanctions on them? Shouldn't we be pressing him to do that? Yeah. I mean, it's so easy and we just can't connect the dots on this stuff.
I know.
I guess they're more worried like, oh, that's a bad story. Let's hope it washes out in the cycle because they're just so... I don't know. They have so much PTSD from every bad Hillary Clinton story that somebody floats out like a turd. I don't know, man. But yeah, you can't have it both ways. You can't be like the bullshit argument that Hillary Clinton did all this horrible stuff, actually colluding with the Russians, and then say, but the Russians aren't bad and who cares? And they're our allies and they didn't interfere with the election. And even if they did, it didn't matter. So who gives a shit? I mean, you can't wear both those hats at the same time. You got to wear one or the other.
Yeah, but they can as long as we don't call them out on it.
Yeah.
As long as we don't say, hey, what about this?
It's like the Republicans and Harvey Weinstein.
Right.
Jumping up and down like maniacs over Harvey Weinstein. And I just want to say, oh, good, you're agreeing now.
Right. We're all on the same page on sexual assault and sexual harassment in the workplace.
It's really, really, really bad.
Great.
And we should totally take women who make these claims 100% seriously, right?
Right? Obviously, they're not lying. Harvey Weinstein is a big Jew who donated to Democrats. He's a goddamn monster because these women said he was. Great. Believe women. Love it.
Yeah.
And then what does Sarah Huckabee Sanders say today?
Oh, no. All the Trump accusers
all
are liars.
All Trump accusers are lying women. They're just lying and making things up. And we've been very clear about this.
Okay. So we're very offended and taken aback by sexual harassment when it's done by someone we can link to Democrats somehow.
Yeah.
If not, then it's not a thing and it doesn't exist and the women are liars.
They're all liars.
And even if they did, it's just locker room talk and it's fine anyway.
Right.
So
don't worry about it. It's minor.
Can't win.
It's trivial. It doesn't matter.
So we have so much more to talk about on that front.
Yeah, we do.
Because since last weekend, of course, the latest guy in the news is Mark Halperin, who I think is an awful garbage person to begin with before all this.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out he is another gross, almost rising to the level of Weinstein type.
Yep.
And then there's this other unknown kind of movie director, James Toback.
Toback, yeah.
Who did this apparently to over 300 women.
Yeah, no, he was like a serial assaulter.
That's amazing that many women came forward.
Well, I think that makes sense, right? If we talk about the reason women don't come forward, it's because the man that is in question has so much power and no one's ever heard of this guy. And so a lot of these women were up and coming in their careers. They hadn't seen a lot of people. They go to this director guy who directed a couple movies they've heard of.
Yeah.
They get there and he's a garbage, horrible, assaulting piece of shit. And they're just like, holy fuck.
Yeah.
So coming forward against someone like that's a little easier because he's not fucking Harvey Weinstein.
He's probably not going to ruin your career.
Or Bill Cosby, right? Like, yeah. It's easier. And this is not to say that it's easy ever. And this is not to diminish the difficulty or make any presumption they should have come forward sooner. This is just saying that once a couple of women or a couple of hundred women have come out against this person, it's easier no matter who it is. But it's particularly easier when it's someone who doesn't really have that much reign of authority in your
field.
Yeah,
I guess so.
You know?
Like if I was to run around all over town assaulting and harassing women and then like an APB went up with my face and it called this number if this guy's harassed you, there would be no problem for anybody to less right. of a problem for anybody to
probably not
call in and point the finger.
Whereas, probably not, whereas right?
A Harvey Weinstein or a Mark Halperin or
right.
somebody in a position like, of
those,
power.
Those two in particular are people that not only are in a position of power within the industry, but that have a lot of pull, that are people who, as we've seen with Harvey Weinstein, can make or break your career and mm-hmm. do it intentionally if you rebuke him.
Yeah.
So I want to do something. I want to read the Mark Halperin statement.
Sure.
He had a couple of missteps before he made this one, and I want to talk about why this one is yeah. is what it is, and I'm not going to shit all over it, and I'm not happy about it either.
We'll talk about it.
Yeah.
But just to back up, to give you a little context, if you hadn't heard, Mark Halperin, who has worked at ABC News, he's worked on Bloomberg, he's worked for, he's been all over the place.
Showtime.
Know. Yeah.
Time Magazine.
He had an awful daytime show during the election with, yep. He co-wrote Game Change about Sarah Palin.
He did. And he worked on that campaign is yeah. why he co-wrote it, right? Or he was.
No, he worked on the, I think one of the Clinton campaigns at one point, I thought. But in any event. He's kind of an awful garbage person. A couple things I wanted to point out about him. He, with all the Trump sexual harassment stuff was coming forward, he was very sort of conspicuously vocal downplaying it.
Really?
Yes.
I don't remember that, but that was a weird time.
Which raised eyebrows at the time. Said, what the fuck is with Mark Halperin? He's also big in the Syliza camp of just hating Hillary Clinton. He's yeah. also been a big Marco Rubio fanboy for whatever reason. He famously said this is good news for John McCain when something happened in the midst of the 08 election where it wasn't even close anymore. And he tried to say that it still was close and everybody lampooned him for that endlessly. And then also recently he raised a big stink when on a flight in first class or business class, he was forced to sit next to somebody's dog.
And why is that? I would love that so much more than sitting next to a human.
You don't what? Remember? I showed this to you.
Oh my God, I don't remember this
no,
at all.
No, this was a big thing on Twitter. This was pretty recently, a month or two ago. And it was interesting because the person couldn't sit with the dog for some reason. So the dog had its own seat, business class. It was this adorable looking dog. And I think it had like a doggy bow tie.
Oh my God.
And it's just kind of sitting there
you
behaving itself.
You did not show
itself.
This to me.
I
no.
must have.
No.
So the dog is just sitting there. Behaving itself, just kind of looking. And Mark Halperin is like, he tweets, he's like, can you believe that United, because this is when all the airlines were like dragging people off flights and throwing them airborne, like out of cabin windows and stuff. So he wanted to jump in on that. And he's, can you believe that United sat me next to a dog? Me? And everyone was like, that dog looks awesome. What's your problem? What, do you not like dogs? And they tried to backtrack. No, dogs are okay. I mean, I paid for a seat, and why should I have to sit next to a dog?
What kind of monster are you that you didn't trade places with the person with the dog?
Right, that's one thing.
What
right?
the fuck?
Because I think they had to sit in coach for some reason.
Good, trade your first class seat if you don't want to sit next to a dog and go sit in fucking coach.
But the dog was adorable.
Of course, the dog all, was perfectly. I love every single one of them. All of every one of them.
No,
all
but,
of the dogs.
But he takes a picture to like illustrate like
how can, outrageous it is that he had to get sat next to an adorable dog with a bow tie.
That me, the great Mark Halperin,
oh my God.
Has been forced on a flight to sit next to a dog. And it was just like, wow, Halperin, you are such a fucking asshole. And yeah, he's taking a picture and this dog is like turning and smiling at him.
Like, oh, did you want to take my photo? Yes, I'm very photogenic. My mother does this all the time. I have a bow tie, did you see?
Yeah, and everybody had the reaction you did.
Yeah, I would so much rather sit next to a dog
than a person.
And if the dog tried to put his tongue in my mouth, I would be like, lol.
Oh, you're cute.
No kisses, thanks. But I love you.
Okay, that backtracking, in case you're new to the podcast.
Right.
Rachel and I were once on a flight to Florida, and I fell asleep, and the guy sitting next to her tried to kiss her.
No, literally did, yeah.
Yeah.
And I was like, what is happening right now?
True story.
I gave him gummy bears.
That's all it takes.
I guess that meant...
Just ask Mark Halperin.
I gave you a gummy bear. You definitely get to grope and put your tongue in my mouth. He didn't grope me, let's be fair. But it was, yeah. I have a hard time with men. Anyway.
I can't imagine why.
I just don't know.
I don't mean to laugh, but
no,
we can laugh about it now.
Yeah, no. Yeah. Even then, I was like, what?
Well, we're heading back to Florida soon. We'll
we
see
are.
If we get a replay.
No. I'm sitting on the window. I don't care how tired you are, how much you hate being in the middle. No men are going to put their tongues in my mouth, no, but thank you.
You were in the middle.
I was. I'm saying window. I'm taking the window
That's
seat
fine.
This time.
That's
from
fine.
Now
can,
on, when
they
we fly.
They can kiss me.
Yeah. And at
we'll
least
just
it's not
hit it off.
A red eye. But anyway, okay. So beyond all that fun, it was weird. I'm going to read the statement that Mark Halpern put out. And we're going to all have some feelings about it. So mm-hmm. here we go. I am profoundly sorry for the pain and anguish I have caused by my past actions. I apologize sincerely to the women I mistreated. The world is now publicly acknowledging what so many women have long known. Men harm women in the workplace. That new awareness is, of course, a positive development. Sorry. For a long time at ABC News, I was a part of the problem. I acknowledge that and I deeply regret it. As I said earlier in the week, my behavior was wrong. It caused fear and anxiety for women who were only seeking to do their jobs. In recent days, I have closely read the accounts of women with whom I worked at ABC News. I have not read these accounts looking for discrepancies or inconsistencies. Instead, in almost every case, I have recognized conduct for which I feel profound guilt and responsibility, some involving junior ABC News personnel and women who were just starting out in the news business. Many of the accounts conveyed by journalists working on stories about me or that I have read after publication have not been particularly detailed, and many were anonymous, making it difficult for me to address certain specifics. But make no mistake, I fully acknowledge and apologize for conduct that was often aggressive and crude. Toward the end of my time at ABC News, I recognized I had a problem. No one had sued me, no one had filed a human resources complaint against me, no colleague had confronted me. But I didn't need a call from HR to know that I was a selfish, immature person who was behaving in a manner that had to stop. For several years around my departure from ABC News, I had weekly counseling sessions to work on understanding the personal issues and attitudes that caused me to behave in such an inappropriate manner. Those who have worked with me in the past decade know that my conduct in subsequent jobs at Time, Bloomberg, NBC News, and Showtime has not been what it was at ABC. I did not engage in improper behavior with colleagues or subordinates. If you spoke with my coworkers in those four places, men and women alike, I'm confident you would find that I had a very different reputation than I had at ABC News because I conducted myself in a very different manner. Some of the allegations that have been made against me are not true. But I realize this is a small point in the scheme of things. Again, I bear responsibility for my outrageous conduct at ABC News. I hope that not only will women going forward be more confident in speaking up, but also that we as an industry and society can create an atmosphere that no longer tolerates this kind of behavior. I know I can never do enough to make up for the harm I caused. I will be spending time with my family and friends as I work to make amends and contributions, both large and small.
Okay, I have some thoughts. I know you have some thoughts. What are your thoughts?
Well, it's the most apologetic and openly admitting to statement that's been made thus far, to my knowledge, of any person who's been accused of any of this that's a person that the public knows.
As far as I can remember, you're absolutely right, yeah.
No one has admitted to anything. No. Everyone fiercely denies, maybe it was inappropriate, but I didn't realize. Maybe they took it the wrong way. There's been a lot of excuses, but there haven't been a lot of apologies.
And then there's Bill O'Reilly, who just flat denies everything.
Well, that's most of it.
And Trump.
I mean, the most we've gotten from anyone thus far has been like, sorry if I made you feel weird. That wasn't my intention.
Mm-hmm.
His is like, no, I acted inappropriately and grossly and horribly, and I feel really shitty about it, and I changed my behavior.
Right.
So I think we have to give him some credit for that. I think we have to say that's a good starting point.
Yeah.
I do.
It's pretty humiliating to come public and admit that basically all the horrible things you've been reading about, and for him to say, yeah, I did that.
Yep.
That takes a lot.
Yeah,
it does. I'll give that credit.
Yeah. And to say, I did that, that was wrong. When men do that, that is wrong.
Right.
We should not do that. We should not tolerate that.
Yes.
I am a part of the problem, right? The thing right. I was asking men to do last week was right. to self-reflect and say, I was a part of the problem. Because there's no way
right.
that none of you are a part of the problem and all of us have experienced it.
Those are all good things, yes.
I understand his point that a lot of these things were anonymous. Travis, can you ever remember a time when you pressed your erect penis against a woman without her consent and didn't remember the specifics of who it was?
Absolutely not.
Have you ever done it so many times that you're not sure which one you should be confronting about it?
I can quite honestly tell you I have never purposefully put my erect penis against anybody without their total consent.
No, through clothes.
Through clothes, yes. Yeah.
Just press it up there.
Jesus Christ.
You would remember that, do you think?
If I was ever in a situation at work where I had an erection, I would probably just try to hide until it went away.
Right.
And I would not want to press it against any of my coworkers.
You would try to stay as far away from the women in your life.
I would try to as far away from everybody.
Everybody as you possibly could.
Yes.
And certainly not get close enough to them that they could either see, rather feel it on their leg.
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
No.
So, do I believe this man?
No.
No.
No, come on.
Unless you literally did it so many times that you're like, which one came forward? Oh, the one where I was in the fire room. God, that's like 20 of them. I wonder which one of them said something. Did she say anything about the filing cabinet or the computer? Because then I could nail it down to like four. Like, that's the only explanation I have.
Yeah.
When he says these women have been anonymous, therefore I can't really respond to specific complaints. I'm like, how many times did you press your erect penis against a woman who didn't want you to do it at work? How many times?
A lot.
I mean, if it's enough times that you're like, with them being anonymous, it's hard to know which one, is sort of like saying, I'm literally the worst. I've done this so many times, right. I can't possibly tell you who it is.
We do need to put on our cynical hats now for his response for several reasons, right? I mean, like, all the first...
Well, in the same sentence, he said, some of these allegations aren't true. And you're like, well, how do you know? You can't remember how many times you press your erect penis up against someone, but you know for sure that some of the things they said aren't true. And the ones that he's referring to, I guarantee you, are the ones that carry criminal charges. Those are the ones that are definitely not true, no matter who said them or what situation it was.
Yeah, because his lawyer had to vet this.
Absolutely. He's not an idiot. He's like, very bright man.
To come clean right now. I have to get ahead of this.
Yep.
Okay, you do that, but you cannot...
You cannot admit to any of the rapey stuff.
Yeah.
None of it. You didn't masturbate in front of anybody. You didn't pull your dick. You were just standing in a weird way and she bumped into you and you had an arrest. We can downplay all that, dude. But there are criminal charges to be had for some of these allegations and that shit you have to deny.
And be vague.
Yep.
Yeah, be vague.
Yep. Yep.
So, yeah, there's that.
And I think it's interesting how clear and direct and like really passionately he was like, no one at any of these other places that I have worked will come forward. I changed my behavior. And you and I were talking about this earlier,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I have some thoughts on that.
Yeah, yeah. No, so that's kind of... I have more thoughts, but I want to hear what you... Yeah.
My thoughts are, boy, that is very risky.
Right.
Because it's just very hard to believe it's true. Because let's say... first of all, that bit about nobody ever went to HR is... not exactly true. The Weasley HR people, I think it was at ABC, the one they interviewed was like, well, this person came to us, but it wasn't a formal thing. And so they used semantics to say it wasn't an HR complaint.
Correct.
But let's assume this is true for a minute. If you're Mark Halperin and you had fondled or groped or put your erection against all these young interns and all this gross shit and got away with it, then you're going to go to a new place and you're going to just stop?
Right.
You said it's possible.
I do think if what he's saying is true, that, you know, something happened or not that something happened at work, but like that he, I think out of nowhere, he didn't just one day press his erection against some woman or like proposition her for sex for the 17th time in a dark room alone. And she was just like, dude, fucking stop. I don't think that's what spawned him to go to therapy if he actually did go to therapy and what he's saying is true. But if what he's saying is true, that he did go to therapy and he did gain some insight into this, the horrific nature of his behavior and how horrible it was. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are white supremacists that are reformed.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
I have to believe that in some world, this man, something happened and he went to therapy and the therapist dragged him so hard that he was like, all right, I'm a garbage person. I have to fucking stop. Mm-hmm. And maybe he looked at whatever he looked at and figured out whatever, you know, entitlement or hatred of women or whatever it was, and he maybe he grew. I have no reason to believe that that's true. I believe it's possible for sure. I think that's an important thing to believe as a society, that if you're a person who has done these things, you're not necessarily like Bill Cosby. Like there is coming back. You may not have known or realized how damaging it is. And upon realizing it and upon some self-examination and some therapy, of course you can come back.
Okay. It's possible. My cynical hat says, no, he probably never stopped. And if he didn't, maybe he's taking stock and like, okay, well, yeah, I did this and that with these, but this one chick at Bloomberg, I mean, I helped her get that job and we still talk. She's never going to say anything. And then this other one, you know, she...
Right. Unless he had a really good therapist or he like, you know, spent a year with me just yelling at him constantly. I think... This is the whole point, though, of what we've been saying about the Me Too thing, right? He knows that pressing, like, just like you know, pressing your erection against a woman at work in the file room is a bad idea.
Yeah.
It's not it's something that you do, right?
No. It's nothing I would ever imagine doing.
But I'm sure that he can justify away a lot of the... been really close lately, and... I know I'm your boss, but do you want to get a drink later? And she's like, no, but
Well, that was his first story, right?
Thanks. And then he's like, the next week, I know you said no last week, but you know, we have this really big project coming up and we're going to be spending a lot of time. Let's get to know each other. And then it proceeds from there. And then it's, hey, I need you to do this. And then it's, look, if you want to fucking do this project, it's, you know, it's come have a drink with me or it's bust.
So his first...
So those... What I'm saying about that is those kind of situations, I feel like men feel like there's a gray area where there isn't one.
For women, there's no gray area.
No, we know. We know what you're doing the first time you do it. We know what you're doing the 17th time you do it. We know what you're doing the entire time you're doing it.
Yeah.
And it just gets more and more awful and more impossible to avoid. And sometimes we just fucking concede because it's literally our life and career on the line. And we go have the drink. And then it's our fault because we shouldn't have had the drink. But literally our career is on the line. We know the whole time. But for him and for a lot of men, I think they're like, well, I mean, I know I asked her 17 times and she gave me a hard no 17 times and literally said, I never want to have a drink with you. But the 18th time she said yes. Therefore, it's all good. She can't possibly say anything. She said yes to the drink. And you're like, dude, no. Like, she said no. She doesn't want to go out with you. You're her boss. And then you've brought her career into it. Of course she's going to go have a drink with you. What you do after that sucks. So I think that his assertion that he's never done this again, I think you're right. He probably has done things like that. He never pushed his erection against a woman in the file room again. But the number of times he did other shit that happens to us literally every day.
Well, that's what I was going to say, was that the first thing he said a couple days ago was, okay, I admit I pursued improper romantic relationships with some of my subordinates.
Yes.
And that was bad.
Yes.
I was like, no, dude, that's not what they're saying. That's the iceberg. So then he came out with the full mea culpa today.
Mm-hmm.
So that also makes it seem less genuine because he was testing the waters with, okay, let me just come out and I'll just say this thing and see if that flies or...
Because that's everyone's favorite. You know, you can't expect men and women to work in an environment together and for there to be no attraction. So a man is just supposed to be, you know, castrated at work. People fall in love at work all the time. People are married with people they worked with all the time. Like this is this narrative that we've created for ourselves to ignore the problem of sexual harassment in the workplace. Mm-hmm. And so... It's really easy to say, I just thought she was pretty and I asked her on a date. What's wrong with that? Everyone goes, right. People get married all the time for people they work with. That's not what this is.
No.
And it's a red herring to talk about it that way. This is persistent, constant asking for quote dates or quote drinks or whatever, which every woman on earth knows exactly what that fucking means. To the point where it's asking for those things in exchange for the job and the career that you have. Mm-hmm. And in some cases, advancement and promotion. And in some cases, just not getting fucking fired. So, yeah, I think what we're learning this week is that there's gray area for men and not so much for women. Right. We know.
Well, let me give you an example, a personal example.
Sure.
So when I was working in research for Texas Tech, my very last like few months there, we had this intern. She mm-hmm. was like a freshman in college, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this is all just sort of recurring to me in the last few days.
Yeah.
And like I was sort of teaching her some things, helping her with a project.
Yeah.
And at a certain point, came about research, and she was going to head, and like my last day was coming up, and she was going to head back to school.
Yeah.
She wasn't going to intern there anymore. Sure. So, and she was talking, we were talking about this project that she was using with our data. And I said, do you want to meet for tea at this place? There was this place called, it was called Mad Hatter's. Interestingly. Mad Hatter's Tea in San Antonio. It's like, do you want to meet for tea after work? And, you know, just talk about a couple things with what you want to do with your research studies.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so we did. I mean, it was totally proper. It was fine.
Right.
Nothing.
Just a business meeting.
I didn't ask her to have a drink with me. None of that. But then at the, you know, when we were saying goodbye, sort of the awkward handshake thing, she got very nervous. Like I was going to do something.
Yeah.
And I didn't really understand at the time. Of course, I did not.
Right.
Shook her
hand. You were literally just like, goodbye. Let's talk about the future of your career because you've been great to work with me and you have a bright future.
Yeah.
Let's talk about your research.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then.
Yeah. That's really rare, by the way.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you some examples in a minute, but go ahead.
Yeah. But then, you know, at the end and, you know, say goodbye, went separate ways. And I think maybe we might be connected on LinkedIn now and that's about it.
Uh-huh. But you could tell that she was nervous at the end.
Yes. And it didn't occur to me at the time, like, what was that all about? And like now it's like, oh shit. And now I'm wondering, like, was I in that gray area?
No.
I don't feel like I was.
I mean, so in that, of course there's gray area, but there's also, let me give you an example. I'm not going to, this is somebody that I'm really close to that I worked with, and she was trying to break into a field and she was changing careers and we worked together. She was my boss and she was making a lot of connections and talking to a lot of people. And she kept running up against this whole like, yeah, we should totally get together. Let's talk about this. And then they would make like an appointment to meet, but it wouldn't be like in the person's office. It would be like at coffee or at drinks or something. Mm-hmm. And then usually it was like over text or email. And then they would almost 9 times out of 10. In fact, I don't know when we may have her on the podcast at some point to talk about this. And she can do it anonymously, but, there would be these like weird emojis that would happen. And like one guy was texting her and said like, can't wait for our business meeting, babe.
Okay.
And we would just look at them and go like, you can't go to that.
No.
You can't go to that now. Like, what the fuck? This was a completely legitimate business development request, right? I have this knowledge. You have this knowledge. We, like, this is the thing. And then every fucking time these men would say things to her or, you know, a 50-year-old man's wink emojiing at her about the coffee they're going to have at Starbucks on Tuesday at 10 a.m. And you're like, the fuck is the wink now? And sometimes she'd go because it was a really good opportunity. And mm-hmm. every fucking time they're like, oh, I have this thing with this gala later. And do you want to? And it's like, Jesus Christ, no, I want you to give me a fucking job or I want you to, you know, help me in my career. I don't want to be your arm candy at a fucking gala and I don't want you to call me babe and I don't want to go on a date with you. And these are not people that she even knew, right?
Yeah.
So there's gray area where, well, I would say is sometimes you really do think it's just coffee, but you always always know in the back of your head it could not just be coffee.
So that's kind of what she was maybe thinking.
And like 90% of the time it's not just coffee.
And then there was that minute like, okay,
that 10%, am I gonna get out of here alive? She probably walked away and goes like, holy shit, that was literally just coffee and we actually just talked about my career. That has happened to me like twice in my life. Where like I went to have coffee with someone for the explicit purpose of doing something business related, and it was a man, a single man.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all it was. And I was like, best meeting ever. Like, that was the greatest thing that's ever happened to me.
Shouldn't be that unusual.
And one
right?
of them was gay, which I didn't know at the time.
Damn.
Yep. And the other one, just, we had serious things to talk about. And, like, of course, I work with men when that's not the case. Like, we have coffee and shit like that. But, mm-hmm. like, I'm talking about, yeah. All right, I guess that's not true. Because I have coffee with men in my life that I work with, and there is absolutely no agenda. It's just coffee to talk about work. But it's not like, let's go have coffee after work and talk about other things. Or let's go, you know, it's like, mm-hmm. hey, come have a cup of coffee with me so we can talk about this project. That's totally fine. That's just a normal thing people do.
Right.
Hey, after work, are you busy? You want to come do this thing with me and I can help you with this thing? That's where you're like, oh, God. Fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, sorry if that was ranty, but, you know.
No, these
it's
are
complicated.
The, these are the conversations that now I think that people need to have and that young women need to start having and
men need to
men
start having,
need to start and, having and thinking about more.
Yeah. And what I guess what I'm trying to say is do not the thing we talked about last week, like, oh, men are now afraid to mentor women and men are afraid to be alone with women. And that's not what I'm saying. You know, if you want to have a cup of coffee with a colleague about to talk about something work related, you should do that. If you want to go have a drink with a colleague after work and you kind of like them, don't do that. Right? Especially if you're in a position of authority.
Yeah. That's the big one there.
If you're like parallel on the ladder and there's some chemistry, you can ask. She says no, fucking take it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, if she says no, it's no.
Yeah. And don't ask again.
No.
And if she wants to see you, she'll be like, I'm sorry about the other day. I could use that drink. Tonight.
Sure.
She'll fucking come back.
Yeah. If she's interested, she'll let you know.
I swear to God. I swear to God. Once you express interest, if we're interested back, we'll fucking let you know.
Well, that's a problem. And we've talked about this before. Pop culture is very big on mm-hmm. being persistent. Like mm-hmm. that's a romantic thing.
Right.
It's not a fucking romantic thing. It's
no.
creepy as shit.
And the more you do it, the worse we feel about you. And if you eventually wear us down so that we go have that cup of coffee or that drink, we just fucking hate you the whole time.
There have even been presidents, and these stories are probably apocryphal, but they're like, you know, think of like the Eisenhowers or something. That's just an example. I don't know if they actually said this, but like, how did you meet? Well, I asked her out and she said no, and she said no, and she said no, and finally she said yes, and now she's my wife. And people go, oh, isn't that cute?
No! No! It's fucking horrifying.
Yeah. It's probably
horrifying.
A, not true.
Right.
But, and B, it, what does it say? It's giving this idea that a no means yes. And you can extrapolate that into all.
Everywhere it goes,
everywhere
all the way up
goes.
And through rape.
Yes.
Absolutely. When no doesn't mean no, it goes in every aspect of your life. When mm-hmm. women's autonomy is not reflected in your beliefs, when you really believe that when I tell you I don't want to have a drink with you, what I'm really saying is I need you to ask me seven more times. I don't need you to ask me seven more times.
No.
If I want to have a drink with you, I now know. Maybe this is making it clear. When you ask me if I want to have a drink with you and I make up an excuse where I can't have one
mm-hmm.
or I don't make up an excuse, I just really can't do it that night. You've made it clear to me that you want to have a drink with me.
Right.
Now I know. There's no unclarity there. So I don't need you to ask again because now I know that you want to do that. So if I want to do that, I can come to you and say, knowing I won't be rejected, hey, want to have that drink? Hey, sorry about the other day. I'm free tonight, right?
Sure.
That's how it works.
It's in the normal world of normal people.
Please don't
yes.
make me make up an excuse 17 times. I don't want to have a drink with you and I can't just say fucking fuck off. Stop asking because you're my boss.
Not yet.
Seriously, stop asking.
Maybe we're getting there, sort of, hopefully, maybe,
yeah.
kinda.
Yeah. And it really is. I mean, this, I was telling you this.
Well, I hope this isn't a flash in the pan. I hope this continues.
This feels different for me.
Does it?
Yeah.
Like the floodgates are just totally opening now?
Yes.
Not only to out all the horrible men who've been doing this, but now to change the narrative and the dynamic and make it a thing to where this is not okay behavior for men in position of power to act this way.
And if you do, the consequences aren't just going to be HR. We have now made it okay for women to publicly out you to the media.
Mm-hmm.
And people are afraid, and they fucking should be. And I hope that...
Not just women. Corey Feldman says he was molested as a kid.
Yes,
actor.
Him and Corey Haim both.
Yeah.
And
now, Corey Feldman's a little...
I believe him.
100%. I believe 100%. Him, too. The problem is, and I can see this developing new legal thing. I read an interview with him today. He said, okay, I'm going to out all these people. And also my tour bus got pulled over and we had some weed, but I think it was because I've been recently talking to the media. And also I think my phones were tapped and he said a bunch of crazy
shit.
And I
need $10 million to make a documentary because of my own security.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
You know what? That doesn't make me not believe that he was molested as a
child, or raped
as a child actor. I 100% believe
that's
Well,
look,
true.
You know what'll 100%. Happen, right? If he comes forward and it's true, he won't be the only one coming forward.
That's right.
If
Corey Haim was already dead.
Yeah.
Which sucks.
Yeah.
Also, was raped at age 11 by someone
Apparently, in
Hollywood. So I believe all of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And when we come back, I'm going to ruin everything by talking about one more thing. But
okay, don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Back to Irreverent Testimony. We were talking about things and stuff. And
yes, and before we move on to the final point I want to make, I was just on the break and I was thinking about what I said, and I just want to clarify. I don't want to retract, but
okay.
I don't want the message to be men don't mentor women, don't take them to coffee, don't talk to women. In the workplace, men are in the most positions of power. And the very best thing that you can do to help women and empower women is to help their careers and to take them to coffee and to mentor them. I'm just saying, don't be creepy. Don't mentor them by trying to get in their pants and then doing something.
Right.
Just be decent and keep it work related.
Or don't even assume that's a thing. That's not...
Don't treat women that are under you in terms of authority any different than you treat the men under you.
Right.
Mentor them in the exact same ways. Treat them in the exact same ways. Do the exact same things that you would do. And nothing more and nothing less. That's all I'm saying. I don't want to project some weird thing of, oh, if you're a man and a woman works for you or with you, that you should never do anything. I'm just saying treat women the exact same way that you treat the men that are their counterparts, and no more and no less.
Well said.
Okay. The other thing I want to say, just quickly, is I've been thinking about this, and it's kind of a downer because this whole Me Too movement has really taken a lot of, really has been like full steam ahead and has, I think, made a cultural impact. And I think that's really important. But I do think that part of the reason that that's true is that the women that have come forward are famous,
yeah,
and pretty and rich and white and knowable.
Well, maybe not for the Mark Halperin stuff.
But they're anonymous still.
True. Some
so
of them, not all.
A lot of this media attention and a lot of the stuff that we're talking about, we're like, bombshell. Angelina Jolie said something, bombshell. Ashley Judd, bombshell. Rose McGowan.
Yeah.
And I was reading this article about some of the like, you know, the gaffers and the people that work on the set of movies and things like that, and how often they are sexually harassed at work.
Oh, God.
And how those stories aren't on the news. I don't see those women talking on the Today Show or any shows. I don't see these women that have probably gone through exactly the same thing as these rich, pretty white ladies, because it doesn't make the same news. And I think it's important to remember that this stuff doesn't just happen to pretty rich white ladies.
No.
This stuff happens to women of, well, to people really, of, in every industry, including on Antarctica, as we talked about a couple of weeks ago.
Doing science in Antarctica.
Yeah.
You can be sexually harassed.
Of course you can. There's a man in power there and there are women there and not a lot of transparency and other authorities. So this is, it's good, right? Like I don't criticize celebrities for making hay about big political issues of the day in the same way that I don't think it's bad that this has become such a big story because so many celebrities have come out talking about it. I think it's really important. But I think that it's also important for us to remember that there are so many countless women who work in every industry all over the world who are subjected to this, and their stories are no less important, whether or not they are publicized, but they're no less important than the ones that are being told in the media.
Well, yeah.
And they're probably much more prevalent, and these women...
It's about keeping perspective, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Harvey Weinstein didn't just sexually assault pretty rich white women.
No,
he probably sexually assaulted his maid and every woman he came across. And those women's stories don't matter that much to the media, but they matter to me and they should matter to all of us.
Yes, absolutely.
Because every single woman that every one of these men did this to are human beings and their stories matter too. And we shouldn't get caught up in this idea that he's awful because it was these women we know in the media.
Sure.
Because there's so many more women that have been subjected to this that we don't hear their stories for good reason from them. You know, like they aren't coming forward because, gosh, Rose McGowan said something and I was just his gardener.
Man,
or, you know,
who am I?
His nanny or...
I don't want to drag my family through this. I don't want reporters at my door.
Right.
My kids' school.
And who would care anyway?
Right.
Or I told somebody and literally no one cared. And then the rich, pretty white lady told somebody and everybody cared. That's a thing to think about, you know? Just keep it in the back of your mind. It's big news because it's big names, but it's not just big names that this happens to.
Well, we mentioned this once already, right? But a reporter at Sarah Huckabee Sanders' awful press conference today had the temerity to say, well, you know, this has been in the news, and what do you say about the, is it 16 different women?
Yep.
16 different women who have alleged sexual harassment or assault by President Trump. And she said, we maintain what we've always said. They're all lying. I mean, she didn't have to repeat those words, but the reporter said, you've maintained that they're all lying.
Yes. They're all lying.
Which is Bill O'Reilly. They're still sticking cameras in Bill O'Reilly's face, by the way.
Of course they are.
Yeah.
Which, you know.
Like, is anybody sticking a camera in Harvey? Now, Harvey Weinstein may not want to talk to the press, but, you know.
Harvey Weinstein is no longer a darling among the people who used to love him, whereas Bill O'Reilly very
still
much
is.
Right. Which I'm about to see my folks this weekend for birthday stuff, not mine, but others. And I intend to ask that question.
Okay.
I intend to ask and have a conversation about, you know.
Start it with Harvey Weinstein, though. Like, isn't this Harvey Weinstein
isn't
stuff
it
awful?
Just awful?
And they're, oh, God, is he. Oh, yes. And
it's the worst.
He donated all those
Democrats.
Shouldn't
he just be put on a desert island where there are no women and no humans ever because he's the worst.
And you're going to say, yes, Dad.
And why do you keep putting Bill O'Reilly on TV?
Oh, well, that's different. Why?
But explain to me why. So if Bill O'Reilly sexually harassed and or assaulted your daughter or granddaughter.
That's okay.
Because, you know, that's how they view women. Would it be different than if Harvey Weinstein did it?
Well, that's the only way they can humanize women.
Correct.
It has to be a woman that they are, like, blood related to or know really well.
Right. Right. It was me or my niece. it wouldn't matter if it was Harvey Weinstein or Bill O'Reilly or not, right. Ronald fucking Reagan, right? But if it's just some woman you've never met, it's really awful if Harvey Weinstein did it. And Bill O'Reilly, she's probably lying.
Speaking of Ronald Reagan, has it already been a week since the George H.W. Bush revelations came out?
So it was like 3 days ago.
Really?
Yeah. What was this week?
Because
everything is this way now, my love.
A week is too long.
I know.
So in case you've been living under a rock, former President George H.W. Bush apparently now has the his MO.
He's in the club.
He's in the club.
Mm-hmm.
Is to meet young women, actresses, or whoever, get close.
In press lines and other like public things where he gets to meet people.
In his wheelchair.
Mm-hmm.
And grab their ass and say, you know who my favorite magician is? David Cop Afeel.
Mm-hmm.
Do you get it?
Got it.
Is that hilarious?
Nope.
You get a dad joke and a grandpa grope. All in one.
All in one. And, you know, this is an interesting conversation to have because there's been this. Yes, of course, it's awful, 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 but he's old.
Well,
and maybe he has dementia.
Hold on.
And maybe he is on medication that makes him have impulse control problems.
Let's discuss this.
I really do want to because I feel very strongly about this.
Okay, well, you know that I'm a neuroscience geek and yes. I work in the field and
yes.
It is indeed possible.
Yeah.
That a combination of old age dementia and Parkinson's drug, which he's on, are making him act in certain ways that might be novel and sort of new in the life of George H.W. Bush.
Yeah.
And he may not totally be in control of
sure.
this kind of stuff.
Sure.
He may not have the judgment he once had.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, if he's doing this shit, why in God's name are they wheeling him out next to women he can grope and assault?
And Barbara Bush is rolling her eyes and saying, not again. And the Secret Service is saying to these women, I'm sorry, don't stand next to him. I'm sorry, you shouldn't have stood next to him. It's horrifying.
Because like three different women have come forward now, or is it?
I don't know how many it is for him, but
they all have the same exact story. And he's kind of copped to it and said he was sorry.
Yeah, which is, you know, I think you and I were talking about this and I was saying there's always an excuse for men, though. There's always one.
Yeah, no,
there's
no,
always
you're right.
one. And I don't give a shit if you're high. Oh, he was too drunk. Oh, he was high. Oh, he has dementia. Oh, it doesn't fucking matter. Like, if he's not responsible for his own actions in this case because he has dementia and he's on medication that makes him, quote, have poor impulse control, unquote, then the people who are around him who are his nurses and his handlers and his wife and the Secret Service, who all are very aware of this behavior, need to prevent him from doing that behavior.
Yes.
Because anyone who does not step in is just as complicit as the people who do.
That's absolutely right.
And my grandmother died of Alzheimer's, right? And she definitely exhibited crazy behavior in her last years
of
life.
And the people around her, as we know.
And she, you know, she lashed out. She was angry. She was happy. She had a range of emotions that was a result of her, you know,
declining mental
deteriorating
state,
brain.
Yeah.
And yes, we excused a lot of that behavior, all of it, really, because we understood that that's what she was going through. We did not, however, allow her to just run in the streets and abuse people.
Sure.
And say, well, she's got Alzheimer's. What do you want me to do? We did not allow her to just run through the streets and, you know, curse babies and hit old people and yell at women. Like, that's not a thing you do because you understand she has this mental condition. And so you don't let her go abuse people.
Right. Well, because he's the former president, there nobody wants to say, no, you can't do this photo shoot.
But there's
no,
always a fucking excuse for complicity. There's always a fucking excuse for men. There's always an excuse. Well, he's old and he's the ex-president and he's Alzheimer's and he's got a Medicaid. I don't give a shit. Fuck him. Fuck her. Fuck them.
It's almost like to embarrass me, though, because didn't I just say on the last... thing. Like, hey, you didn't see the bushes groping people. Fuck! Really?
Yeah.
Really,
yeah.
HW?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Come on, man.
Yeah. I mean, the thing...
I just complimented your family, for God's sake.
Which I never thought I would do. But the thing that you and I have been talking about, too, is that, like, to understand this and to understand the enormity of this, means that somebody, and probably many people that we greatly love and respect, are going to have come out to have done these things. And that's because we live in a rape culture society. We live in a society where this is okay.
And you know, a lot of people's reaction to the George H.W. Bush thing, to me, has been kind of shrugging it off.
Yep.
Like, he's so old. It's like, look, no. If an old dude in a wheelchair, if any man who you've not given consent to grabs your ass...
And then makes a joke about it. It's not like he accidentally grabbed it.
No, we were...
Somebody literally said, well, he's in a wheelchair. That's the only place he can reach.
Oh, that was one of his spokespeople.
And you're like, I don't know, put him somewhere else that he can reach something else. Why are you putting him within reach of a woman's ass when you know that's what he's going to do? And then you say he had no choice. That's the only place he could reach. I'm pretty sure her hand goes below her ass. My does. Like, when I stand, my hand is below my ass. He could reach my hand. There's always an excuse. There's always bullshit. And you're right. Yeah. Like, there's the shrugging off is just, it's maddening.
The women who are the victims of this aren't shrugging it off.
No.
You know, it was just a month or so ago on here. This is the Taylor Swift thing. Some gross older dude grabbed her ass without her consent, decided to be a total dick and sue her and try to go to court over it, and lost right here in Denver.
Because she sued him.
Yeah. And that is not okay. And it's not okay if the former president grabs your ass.
That's right. And she is a fucking hero for doing what she did. And with all of her power and all of her everything, she came forward and said, it wasn't okay that it happened to me. And I'm one of the richest women in the world and most powerful. And it's not okay if it happens to anyone. And I'm suing him for a literal dollar because I want my story on the record. And I want to have this be said. And yeah.
Here's another important thing we have to talk about, right? You and I have discussed this in the past few days. With these floodgates opening, it is a matter of time. It is inevitable that somebody in a position of power that we admire...
That's what I just said.
And love.
Yeah, that we really love, that this happens to. That it is outed that they are one of these people. Right, that's what I just said.
Now, the Republicans seem to think that's Harvey Weinstein. It's not.
I don't give a fuck about him.
He's a Hollywood producer and a big asshole, and we always probably knew that. I don't care who he donates to.
No.
Yeah, it's like Sean Penn, right? We were supposed to love Sean Penn
because he's a wife-beating
piece of shit. Yeah. So, but
great actor, horrible person.
It'll be a politician or somebody in entertainment or somebody in philanthropy or somebody that we do admire. And listen, our friends out there, as liberals, we can't do what they do with O'Reilly and make excuses or minimize.
Nope.
You know,
we have to believe women even when it's uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Even when you don't want to.
Right.
Even when it seems impossible.
Yeah.
You have to believe women because I swear to God, there's no reason to make this shit up.
I'm telling you to be prepared.
Yes. Yes. I was thinking about this after we talked about it, and I was thinking the only person I can think of that I would be completely and utterly just devastated and shocked.
Jimmy Carter.
Barack Obama. You're laughing because
no, I'm laughing.
It's so absurd.
I'm laughing also because it's funnier to think of Jimmy Carter doing.
No, it's not funny to think of any of them doing it.
I know.
But like literally, like I cannot imagine a world in which Barack Obama
has been fondling interns.
No.
Yeah, I don't think that's going
to
happen.
Now, were that to happen, holy shit, my world would come crumbling down. But I would believe those women.
What if he was 90 and in a wheelchair?
I would believe those women.
Of course.
And I wouldn't make excuses. And I would be like, Michelle, the fuck are you doing putting him near women's asses?
Michelle wouldn't
do that. Right. She'd be like, Barry out. He grabs women's asses now. We don't put him in public. That's what you do. No. Dude, if I'm ever in a position where like, someone I love is just grabbing people's asses now, and that's who they are because they're on medication. They're not in public now. They don't get to be near women's asses. Not with me. Not with anyone. If I'm in control of that person, no.
No, if you have any control,
they are no longer around women's asses.
Babs probably doesn't have control of the situation. Oh, maybe. I don't know. I don't know the Bush family dynamics.
I don't either.
I only answered the phone and talked to Jeb a few times, okay? I'm not an insider.
No, but there's just
only
no way.
Only went to kindergarten with his kid for 1 year, okay?
Yeah. No, there's just no way that I let somebody that I know, like, well, he just grabs asses now. No, he's not. He's out. Sorry.
Yeah.
He's not a person who goes out.
But the point is, I don't think it's. I hope it's not going to be Jimmy Carter or Obama. But it's at some point, I think it's inevitable. Somebody we really like.
I grew up a goth kid, and Jordy White it came out that he not only sexually assaulted Jessica from Jack Off Jill, but also domestically abused her while they were dating.
Yeah.
And that was really devastating for me. I had great admiration and love for Jordy White. For my entire teen years, and including, I think he's the only thing that made Marilyn Manson a band that was worth listening to. And every time he left, because Manson was a fucking cokehead asshole, the music was shit. And when he came back, the music got better. But fuck him.
Yeah.
Fuck him. Fuck him. Fuck him. I hope he goes to jail. No love lost. You don't get to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm ready. And I think what we're trying to say is, y'all get ready.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't matter who it is.
And don't make excuses and don't take sides. Believe the women.
Yep. And take a side. And the side is, don't fucking do that to women ever, or children or men or anybody else. Don't hurt people. I don't think that's that hard of a side to take. And when you don't
think so.
Take a side, you're taking the side of the abuser, right?
So I know there's a lot going on in the world, and we're spending a lot of time on this topic.
Yep.
But it's important, especially now with the Mueller stuff heating up and tax reform crap, and you've got the stuff happening with the courts and Obamacare. Like, this stuff, it's salacious, so it runs hot for a day or two for the headlines.
Yeah.
But then it can get lost and get pushed to the back.
Yes. And what I would like to see this be is not just a news story for a couple of weeks, but really a sea change for the way that the country and that our structural system operates, and the way that we talk about women and women in the workplace and women not in the workplace. You know, this is not just about women in the workplace. This is about women at home and women in the streets and women everywhere that they go. And for these women to have come out and for it to have had such an impact, it needs to continue to be talked about. And I think that's why I wanted to talk about it at length today, because it's not, this isn't yes, all women. This feels different to me. I've been through a couple of these.
There was a hashtag that started today, I think, Women in Congress?
Yes.
So I wanted to talk to our friend Sarah about that.
Yes.
See what she has to say. I don't know if it's taking off yet, because I was going to read the story. The Senate, thanks to our friend Chuck Grassley, who's an awful, horrible garbage person, after like Robert Packwood and some other people got busted for being, you know, gross and pervy, passed a rule to make it much, much harder for like interns and pages and people like that to
lodge
complaints against sitting congressmen.
Right. Or for those complaints to really have any impact.
Right.
Yeah.
They have to go to counseling, which is really bizarre. The ones who make the complaint have to go to counseling.
Right. Not the abuser.
Right.
Right. Right.
I'm actually going to see if I can find the story, because it's really bizarre.
There was also a woman, and I apologize, her name is not coming to me immediately, but she relayed a story of how she was sexually assaulted by a senior staff member back when she worked in as a staffer in like the 80s or 90s.
This might be
hold on.
This might be it.
Let me finish my story. Mm-hmm. And she didn't come forward with this story until now, but back in 2012 and 2014, I think, she tried to garner $500 million for everyone that works in the federal government to go through sexual harassment training. And she was buffeted at every pass. Rebuffed. There are some sexual harassment programs that happen, and like sexual assault programs that happen in some things, but many parts of the executive branch and the legislative branch of government are not required to take them. Like, almost every workplace I've ever worked in, you had to watch one of those videos, right? The sexual harassment videos.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
For the last 10 years at least.
All she was saying is Congress should have to do that. And they were just like, no, no, we don't have a problem. And so she started like Me Too Congress. And
yeah, yeah. Let me read the story. Yeah. Because I think this is her. This was in the Washington Post today. How Congress plays by different rules on sexual harassment and misconduct. Brioni Whitehouse was a 19-year-old intern in 2003 when she boarded an elevator in the Russell Senate office building with a Republican senator who, she said, groped her until the doors reopened. She never reported the incident to her bosses for fear of jeopardizing her career. But she recently tweeted about her experience on Twitter as part of the Me Too campaign, a social media phenomenon that has aired thousands of complaints about sexual harassment. Some of the accounts have called out by name Hollywood moguls, media stars, even a former U.S. president, we just discussed. Other women, such as Whitehouse, have stopped short of naming harassers. Whitehouse, in an interview last week with the Washington Post, declined to name the politician who made the unwanted advances, convinced that he would retaliate. So he might still be a sitting congressman.
Must be.
At the time, I didn't know what to do, so I did nothing at all, said Whitehouse, who works overseas as a political consultant.
Yep.
Because this happened so early on for me, I just assumed this was the way things worked and that I'd have to accept it.
Yep.
If Whitehouse had chosen to pursue a complaint against the senator, she would have discovered a process unlike other parts of the federal government or much of the private sector. Her complaint likely would have been thrown out because interns have limited harassment protections under the unique employment law that Congress applies to itself.
Great.
Congress makes its own rules about the handling of sexual complaints against members and staff, passing laws exempting it from practices that apply to other employers.
Isn't it funny how Congress can do that?
Yeah. The result is a culture in which some lawmakers suspect harassment is rampant, yet victims are unlikely to come forward according to attorneys who represent them.
Or even if they do, it doesn't matter.
Right. Under a law in place since 1995, accusers may file lawsuits only if they first agree to go through months of counseling and mediation. So you have accused somebody of harassing or assaulting you. You are the one that is forced to go through months of counseling and mediation before you can even bring a lawsuit.
Well, I think the mediation is the arbitration, right? Like you're forced to...
Well, it's before you even file the lawsuit, go to arbitration. That doesn't make
well,
sense.
Mediation, like let's talk about it in a room.
Yeah.
Let's talk about it. You go through counseling, then I'll sit with him and I'll tell you how it wasn't his fault.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. A special congressional office is charged with trying to resolve the cases out of court.
Uh-huh.
When settlements do occur, members do not pay them from their own office funds, a requirement in other federal agencies. Instead, the confidential payments come out of a special U.S. Treasury fund.
That who paid for that, right?
Us.
What? Oh, yeah. Money doesn't grow on trees.
Hey, Dad, your tax money, you love saying that,
uh-huh.
gets to go to these creepy Republican senators groping interns.
To the, you okay the, with the that? Women that they groped. They don't pay it.
Yeah.
They groped them, but they don't pay it. You pay it. You get to pay for them to grope women. So,
but it's okay because something small government.
Yeah.
Congressional employees have received small settlements compared with the amounts some public figures pay out. Between 1997 and 2014, the U.S. Treasury has paid $15.2 million in 235 awards and settlements for Capitol Hill workplace violations, according to the Congressional Office of Compliance. The statistics do not break down the exact nature of the violations. Like Hollywood, where allegations against movie producer Harvey Weinstein touched off the recent Me Too campaign, the Capitol Hill environment is dominated by powerful men who can make or break careers. Congress has resisted efforts that could improve the culture, such as making anti-harassment training mandatory in their offices. It's not a victim-friendly process. It is an institution protection process, said Representative Jackie Speier of
That's the woman I was talking about.
Democratic
who came
California,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
who has unsuccessfully pushed to overhaul how harassment cases are handled.
Yes.
I think we would find that sexual harassment is rampant in the institution, but no one wants to know because they'd have to do something about it. Whitehouse was among thousands of women who shared stories of sexual harassment and assault online after the Weinstein allegations grabbed global attention. Allie Cole Steele, a Washington lawyer, shared her story about a former Democratic senator, so we're getting in on the act too, grabbing her buttocks at the Democratic National Convention in 2004. She was an 18-year-old intern, and the senator's wife and staff were standing nearby.
Yep.
That's another amazing thing, right? They watch too many movies or something where the wife is like right there and they're grabbing asses. Anyway.
No, it's just what happens in the world.
I was in the position of having no choice but reacting in a way that was going to make a big deal out of it in front of his staff or wife, or acting like nothing was happening. I chose the latter, Steele said.
So the wife's the honeypot in this case. You can't say, well, in a different way, like, you can't say shit because she's standing right there. Don't make a scene.
What are you going to do? You're going to make a scene in front of my wife? Mm-hmm. You know how embarrassing that is?
Yep.
For you?
For you. You just embarrassed me. No, sir. You fucking embarrassed yourself by grabbing my ass.
And you're 18 and you're an intern.
I have a lot of things to say about this, like, a lot. But go ahead.
I wonder if I was Edwards. People she told about the incident said they were sorry it happened, but not surprised, she recalled. Her colleagues had described the former senator as handsy.
God.
Old Handsy McGee. One former Senate staffer, speaking on condition of anonymity out of fear of reprisals, said she was repeatedly groped at work events by a younger and more junior male staff member.
Oh, yep.
Groping upwards. He would just grab me, she said. It happened multiple times. The worst part was my other male colleagues would excuse it. He stayed on Capitol Hill for years.
Yep.
Another former staffer described interning on the Hill at 16 while attending a local high school. The office's legislative director, a married man in his 40s, began paying attention to her in ways that became increasingly uncomfortable, adding her on AOL Messenger, offering her rides home, saying she resembled his college girlfriend, and ultimately suggesting he pick her up from school so they could have lunch. This is like what you were talking about before, right? Not overt, but just gross. Mm-hmm. While the man never touched her or made overtly sexual comments, the former staffer said his attention was inappropriate. No shit.
What 40-year-old man who has no, again, I don't want to discourage men from mentoring young women, but how about, like, I'll come to dinner at your folks' house?
Yeah.
Or let's you and me, your mom and your cousin go out for ice cream.
Or why don't you come to this fundraiser?
Why don't you be chaperoned by an adult that you trust while you're with me, while I'm mentoring you, so that you feel safe and everyone in your life feels safe that you're with me?
Because that's obviously not this guy's MO.
Exactly.
Yeah. What 40-something man is taking a 16-year-old woman out to lunch, she said. We know the answer to that. Power culture.
I have to tell you, I've been taken out to lunch when I was that age. But it was by teachers and people that I trusted and I felt cared about me. And I don't feel weird about it today, but if I were in that position, I probably wouldn't have done the same thing.
Yeah, that's understandable.
Yeah.
Capitol Hill has long been known as a demanding workplace for young people trying to make a mark in an adrenaline-fueled Washington power center. Work duties often require personal interactions with members and high-ranking staffers, and success requires that employees demonstrate personal loyalty, political solidarity, and professional rapport with colleagues and superiors. Making claims of harassment or inappropriate advances come at high risk. There is a sense that going forward with an allegation like this would be completely the end of any career working for anybody on the Hill, and it undoubtedly would be, said Deborah Katz.
Oh, that's 100% true.
An employment attorney in Washington who represents congressional aides in sexual harassment cases. Mm-hmm. We have no doubt that sexual harassment is underreported in Congress, just as all workplace infractions are underreported in Congress, said Brad Fitch, president and chief executive of the Congressional Management Foundation, a nonprofit organization that helps lawmakers and staff learn to run their offices. When cases do emerge, they can attract years of unwanted attention, another disincentive for reporting, attorneys say. Sex scandals involving current and former lawmakers have been infrequent but steady. A count by the Post shows at least a dozen members have resigned or chosen not to seek re-election in the last 15 years because of extramarital affairs, inappropriate contact online, and other sexual misbehavior. But not David Vitter in his diapers. He's still there, wagging his finger at all us heathens.
Uh-huh.
Representative Mark Foley of Florida.
Oh, Foley.
Resigned in 2006 after sending sexually explicit online messages to teenage, current, and former male House pages. And that is, I think, when they really, his own party turned on him because it was boys. Because,
mm-hmm.
yeah, that's... Mm-hmm. The gay shenanigans, that's a step too far. I mean, if you're going to be gross to the young women pages, I mean, come on, that's
normal.
But the boys?
That's abnormal.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Oh. Mm-hmm. The popular House program was eventually disbanded. They just got rid of the whole thing.
Fuck it. These men cannot control themselves. We should just disband the entire page program because these men obviously are unable to control themselves.
Can't help but dry
around
hump.
Prepubescent fucking teenagers.
Yeah. They can't help but dry hump the pages or
Jesus
wet hump.
Jesus Christ.
At the time, Foley apologized for the conduct that it was alleged that I did. Don't you love that?
That it was alleged. I'm so sorry for the conduct that I was alleged I did. It's like if I broke a glass on your floor right now and you were mad at me and you said you broke that glass and I said,
I'm so sorry,
Travis, I am so sorry for breaking the glass that I allegedly broke. Did you see me break the glass? Allegedly, I broke it, but I'm very sorry for allegedly breaking it.
He did not respond to a request for comment. Bet he didn't.
What do you say?
Representative Eric Massa, another Democrat, so you were getting in on the act.
Oh, yeah, I know him, yeah.
Stepped down in 2010 amid allegations that he had groped and tickled male staffers. At the time, Massa said his actions were not sexual. James D. Doyle, Massa, because you're always tickling your subordinates. I mean, that's fun. James D. Doyle, Massa's attorney, said federal investigators have not found the former congressman, quote, committed any wrongdoing whatsoever. In 2015, Representative Blake Farenthold, Boss Nass, settled a sexual harassment charge brought by his former communications director, Lauren Green, who said he made inappropriate comments designed to gauge whether she was interested in a sexual relationship. Oh, I just gagged. I just imagined Blake Farenthold coming on to some poor chick. Oh my God.
No, it's horrifying.
It's like a literal like bullfrog come to life and trying to see if you want to bang it. According to her legal complaint, Farenthold denied wrongdoing. Yeah, I bet he did. Green filed the lawsuit after participating in counseling and mediation. So she went through the dog and pony show.
Which is designed, by the way, to prevent people from going through it.
Right, right.
It's designed to be like, fuck it, never mind.
Neither she nor Farenthold's office responded to requests for comment.
Of course.
Cases involving high-ranking congressional staffers get far less notice. Female staffers in the office of Representative Mark Meadows allege former chief of staff Kenny West behaved inappropriately towards women. It's just stamper. One former female staffer interviewed by the Office of Congressional Ethics said West would play with women's hair and try to look down their shirts, according to an interview transcript. That seems fine.
Can I just pause you right there? Because we've got a bunch to talk about, but what is shocking to me is you and I had this conversation earlier today about Halperin, right? Something about he was like forcing women to hold their hands.
Yeah. Making them sit on his lap.
Okay. What was the holding hands one? Do you remember?
I don't think that was Halperin.
Okay, but it was somebody else, and somebody was saying it was sort of trivial that he was forcing these women to hold his hand
and grabbing their hands and things.
And you asked me just straight up, like, this does not seem trivial to me. Does it seem trivial to you? It seems
horrifying.
And my first immediate thought was, And then I thought, like, of course it's not trivial.
No.
And I asked you, like, you have a female boss. If she forced you to hold her hand multiple times during the day, how uncomfortable would you be?
I would go right to HR or quit.
Right.
Because it's so bizarre.
And uncomfortable and weird and what the fuck are you doing?
It's almost like if a stranger on the street comes up to you and just starts holding your hand.
No, you have to. No, I'm doing it. Also, if you don't do it, I can fire you. Right? That's insane.
Right. Right.
But the Washington Post
described it as trivial, and that's why I brought it up to
you. But I will have to say my first reaction to a lot of these things, like he played with my hair and he tried to hold my hand and, you know, he did these things, is it's like my first gut reaction, because so many worse things happen all the time. I'm so socialized to the bullshit that I'm like, ugh, okay, that sucks. But then you and I have been talking about it so much, and I start putting myself in your shoes and thinking of myself as you and thinking, if your female boss did this to you, what would you do?
Right.
And that is such a stark thing. I do it to you because I want you to understand how we feel, but that's actually not how we feel. We do not feel nearly as horrified as you feel. Right? Because it happens. It's just so fucking constant, and that's the least of it.
Yeah.
Like if someone just holds your hand, you're like, "Can you stop?"
Yeah.
And he touches your hair, and you're like, "Oh, he touched my hair today."
Yeah.
Like it's just a thing you complain to your girlfriend about, and you're like, "The fucking hair touching already, Jesus."
Right. And you have to.
At least
draw
he didn't fucking rape me in the break room.
Mark Halperin pins you in a corner and
presses his dick up again. Yeah. And you're like, all right, this is enough."
Yeah.
But you still don't report it because it's like, "Well, he didn't fucking rape me, I guess."
Right. Yeah.
You know. So when you tell me these, but when I put myself in your shoes, it's so interesting to be like, if your boss did that to you, whoa, that sounds so crazy.
Or tickled me here.
Right. If there was a tickling contest with your, that sounds insane.
My one and one. Would be any weirder than my recent one and ones, actually.
But you know what I mean? It's really weird for me. I have find myself... Because I've been socialized so heavily as a woman in the rape culture that I have to put myself in a man's shoes, your shoes.
It's a gradient
and
scale
be like,
of grossness.
I have to be like, would you put up with it?
Right.
Fucking
right.
No.
Right.
You
right.
would not put up
That's
with
where
it,
we
so
are.
I
we,
shouldn't
We've
have
come
to.
Full circle where you need my men's perspective on what's right and wrong.
What would you put up with?
Yeah.
No, if your boss forced you to hold her hand multiple times a day, you would not put up with it. Oh, that's bad. Okay, I shouldn't put up with that. Okay, good to know.
Yeah.
Oh, we have a tickling. Tickling's
bad.
Yeah.
Let alone a woman in the workplace sticking her boobs in my face without my consent.
Right. Just like, would you please look at this? I think I might have a thing. Hold on. It's just in your face.
You have to laugh because of the absurdity.
Like it's something,
but when you turn it around, I think this is a good way to make men think about it.
Right.
The next, oh, that's not a big deal. Okay. So imagine your boss, and then because men are so gross, you have to like couch it. Imagine she's 60 years old and gross.
60 and gross and whatever.
And then she like pinned you and put her tits in your face and said,
"Come
have a drink with me after work." Would you
or something
put up
like,
with it?
"Oh, my pussy's so wet, feel it." No, give me your hand. Seriously, you have to feel it. You would be like, "Holy, what the fuck is happening? I'm at work
oh
right
my
now."
God.
No,
I'm calling my lawyer. Yeah.
The first time it happened.
First time.
Imagine if something like that
happened to you every day.
Yeah,
it's insane. When you put it that way, and I can't even finish this article now because we're out of time.
Yeah, sorry.
This part. Victims who do seek action face a confusing process under a law known as the Congressional Accountability Act. Yeah, or my ass. I love when they do shit like that.
Yep.
That was put in place in 1995, sponsored by Senator Charles Grassley of Iowa. It imposed a range of civil rights, labor and worker safety laws in Capitol Hill for the first time, but it also had all this shit where you have to go through the counseling and the mediation before you can see anybody.
Yep.
Because this was right after Bob Packwood of Oregon and his women accusers made him resign because he was gross. And so...
Yep.
He had to protect another Republican senator, and I'm sure he knew other Republican senators were doing this shit too.
Yep. And Democrats.
Oh, yeah, a few.
Everybody.
But Grassley is a horrible, awful hack.
He's the worst.
We're just about out of time. We've been consumed like 80% with trying to plead for the men of the world not to be so goddamn rapey all the time.
And just trying to find different ways to think about it and perspectives. And I know there's things happening in the world, but, this is the space where we talk about shit that maybe doesn't get talked about in quite the way that it gets talked about here, hopefully.
Yeah.
So once they do anything about taxes or literally anything on the Hill, we'll talk about it. But until they do something, I have no interest in talking about the press talking about what they might do. When they do something, we'll talk about it.
We'll get to it. There's stuff I do want to talk about probably next week with the tax stuff, which is a work in progress, and they're inching towards it, and all the hypocrisy of Trump being for the people, and with all his estate tax bullshit and the media just
Ivanka
buying into and that and
the
spinning
lack
that
of
back
Democrats
out.
Having any fucking spine. Also, babies, it's Halloween on Tuesday. We won't see you before then or talk to you, but happy Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
And it's on a Tuesday, so either I hope you have the next day off work, or you keep it low key, or like we're doing, you celebrate on a Saturday night.
Right. Neither of us have the day off.
No, or the day after. So happy Halloween, happy Devil's Night, October 30th. Watch The Crow, build a fire, carve some pumpkins.
That's all you. I'm skipping out on that one this year.
Ugh, lame. And
okay, stay active, stay tuned, stay involved. Happy Halloween. Good night.